Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Are your beliefs hijacking your life? Is your language creating your reality? Is your own identity actually holding you back? Renowned advisor and best-selling author Darren J. Gold says that our behavior is driven by a subconscious program of our own making, one that's a result of our environment. The beliefs, values, rules we accumulate guide how we behave, but they also limit our results. Like a computer program that runs your life, the good news, well, you can rewrite and author your code. Darren's new book, Master Your Code, The Art, Wisdom, and Science of Leading an Extraordinary Life, is a groundbreaking guide for pre-writing your program, mastering your code in every aspect of your life. Darren is a managing partner at the Trium Group, where he is one of the world's leading executive coaches and advisors to CEOs and leadership teams of many the most well-known organizations in the world. Trained as a lawyer, worked at McKinsey & Company, a partner at two San Francisco investment firms, served as the CEO of two companies, currently resides in the San Francisco Bay Area with his wife and children. Darren J. Gold, author of Master Your Code, The Art, Wisdom, and Science of Leading an Extraordinary Life, is our guest on This Week in America. Darren, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to be on. Thank you so much, Rick.
Looking forward to talking about this. I love the book. I went through a little bit of your background there, and people would think, boy, this guy has got an extraordinary life. He's blessed to live an extraordinary life. And you say it hasn't always been like that. You are a perfect example of mastering your code. You just didn't really know it at the time. Talk about your background, because you grew up, many people, at the edge of poverty, struggling.
Yeah, I did. I was born into a relatively dysfunctional family. The silver lining was I had a father that loved me, and so I felt very loved and protected. But I grew up in a family where my parents were divorced very early on. My mother suffered from drug and alcohol abuse. Both of my parents spent some intermittent times in jail. My father turned to a life of crime, you know, before I was even born. So I grew up in this somewhat unpredictable, uncertain, and volatile environment. And as I said, a very loving father, that was really the antidote to all of that uncertainty. And out of that experience, I just had this strong belief in the value of education. And that really propelled me out of those circumstances into a life that I'm privileged to say I enjoy today.
Well, and you're doing well in your life, and all of a sudden you're called in and you find out you've lost your job. And that was sort of a turning point in your life, wasn't it? Where you really did some reflection to see who you are, where you are at the current time, and how you can get your life back on track.
Yeah, I mean, out of that childhood, you could imagine you can go a number of different ways. The way for me was the path out of that was an intense focus on getting educated. I was the first in my family to go to college, and an intense focus on professional and financial success. And I was really driven by that. In many ways, it served me. And as we get into it, you'll see in many ways that it limited me. And I, in my mid-30s, had reached what I thought was the pinnacle of my career, managing and making a lot of money, doing really sort of extraordinary professional work. And I got this, as the late leadership expert Warren Bennis said, a crucible moment in my life where I was unexpectedly and summarily fired, and it really shook me to my core. And it gave me a real gift, which was the opportunity to start asking questions that I hadn't been asking about myself. Who am I? What do I really want in life? And how do I really understand and master myself? And that has led me on a long journey to master myself and collect a lot of wisdom that at some point I had enough of where I could begin to do this work with others and others that are leading companies, and then ultimately culminated in the writing of this book.
The book is Master Your Code, The Art, Wisdom, and Science of Leading an Extraordinary Life. Darren J. Gold is the author, our guest in the program. The book's available wherever books are sold. Darren's website is darrenjgold.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on directly, get information on Darren and the book there as well. One of the first things you realized as you were looking at your life, and as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, boy, so many of us probably are guilty of this. You were sort of running on what you call autopilot. Talk about that, because it's pretty easy for us to run on autopilot, isn't it?
Yeah, in fact, that's, you know, most of us are until we realize we have a program that's really running us. And I draw this distinction at the outset of the book, and I draw a distinction between a program, which is a set of subconscious safety-based beliefs, values, and rules that automatically drive your behavior but limit your results. And we all construct and inherit a program. We can get into how we do that. But it really does, in many ways, protect us, but it really drives our behavior. And so it's almost this sort of unconscious program. And then I contrast that with a code, and I think this is the big opportunity. This is the secret to leading an extraordinary life, is to become aware that you're being run by a program, and then to consciously construct a set of beliefs, values, and rules that are that's purposefully designed to serve you and lead to extraordinary results. That's the key aha for me, was that, hold on a second, almost every part of my life is sort of automatically driven by a set of beliefs and rules that I've never taken a look at. What if I started to take a look at those and upgrade the program? And replace it with a code of my own choosing. And that was a incredibly liberating and empowering realization, and a lot of work to, of course, get that into place.
Well, in the book you talk about, you realized you didn't have to live according to a set of rules written by a 7-year-old boy. And for so many of us, so much of our foundation, our core beliefs, are based on what happened to us 40, 50 years ago in some cases.
Yeah, and much of our most deeply held beliefs, the ones that are hardest to see and hardest to change, are ones that were constructed very early in life. And so I'd make this, I think, claim in the book that I was almost 40 years old when I realized that I was being driven by a program written by a 7-year-old boy. And there's something like really refreshing and absurd about that statement, right? Which is, it points to an opportunity to, I oftentimes, for people that are, you know, I think most people now have a smartphone. And if you imagine running your iPhone or smartphone on a version of the operating system from 5 years ago, it would be useless. It wouldn't work in today's environment, right? And in many cases, I think the analogy applies to as adults, we're trying to live and lead an effective life in a lot of uncertainty. And boy, is that true today. And we're doing that out of a operating program or an operating system that was written and constructed years ago. It's totally outdated. And so the opportunity really is to not totally get rid of it, because there's many parts of it that still serve you, but certainly to upgrade it. And the book is constructed in a way that says, look, there are these 10 essential lines of code that if you construct and really master are really the essence of leading an extraordinary life.
And you talk about it's that simple and it's that difficult. Talk about implementing as I'm reading. And Darren has done the work for us. You've got these 10 different categories. And this applies to all phases of our life. You were out of a job looking for something professionally. But this really touches on all aspects of our life, doesn't it?
Every aspect, you know, in our relationships, in our family, in our work, in our community, the relationship we have to ourselves. And it is both simple and very difficult. It's simple in that the notion, I think, people can really grasp intellectually. To put it into practice requires a lot of hard work, and I didn't want to pretend that wasn't the case, because I don't think it serves the reader. And it's like anything that's worthwhile in life. It requires effort and discipline, and I equate it to a path of mastery. If you look at people that have really mastered their craft, right? Maybe it's the great performers or the great athletes that we really respect. These are people that dedicate their lives and do something every single day to perfect this craft. Leading an extraordinary life is no different. It requires that kind of discipline, and the results can be immediate, but it's an ongoing practice that really never ends, is the sort of point that I was trying to make.
Darren Gold is our guest on the program, author of the book, Master Your Code, The Art, Wisdom, and Science of Leading an Extraordinary Life. The book's available wherever books are sold. Darren's website is darrenjgold.com. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You mentioned the book is very easy to follow. It's set up with the 10 chapters. Talk about the way you set the book up, the chapters, and give us several of the areas that we can talk about and maybe guide us through. These are areas that we actually can go in and we can change the code.
We can, and I'll offer a few of them because I don't think we have time to go through all 10. The first one starts with a declaration that I'm the author of my life, and it's foundational, and it rests on the importance of awareness. And I share early in the book this very short story of two fish swimming along, and an older fish swims by, and he says, "Hey, boys, how's the water?" And the two younger fish say, "What the hell is water?" And I think it's a really great metaphor for the first step is to really begin to see, perhaps for the first time, that much of your behavior is driven by a set of subconscious beliefs that you hold. And here's the thing about beliefs. Number one, all beliefs, every single one of them, is made up. Number two, they're designed primarily to keep you safe, not for you to thrive. And number three, since they were made up, they can be reconstructed. So chapter one's foundational. It's about awareness. It's about being understanding that you have this program and that it's malleable, that it's changeable, and that, you know, it's a declaration to sort of take responsibility for that. The other two that I point to, just to give your listeners a flavor of some of these rules, I have a chapter on responsibility. And there's a fundamental belief. I think there's two fundamental beliefs in life, and we can talk about the two of them. One is the belief that you hold about your circumstances, and the other is the belief that you hold about yourself. And so I have two chapters that deal with those fundamental beliefs. The first one, the belief you have about your circumstances, we have a choice. We can believe that circumstances happen to us and shape us, that there's very little I can do to affect my situation. And right now, that belief is very, very prominent. The world is happening to me. Or, and this is a choice, you can believe that I shape my circumstances, that there's always something I can do to affect my situation. And I say that the human superpower is the ability to choose the beliefs we hold. And that one in particular is a hallmark of somebody who's leading an extraordinary life, somebody who chooses to believe that he or she has the power and responsibility to shape their circumstances.
Darren Gold, our guest on the program. The book is Master Your Code, The Art, Wisdom, and Science of Leading an Extraordinary Life. I mentioned, and you talk about beliefs there. At the beginning, I said, are beliefs hijacking your life? Talk about that, the fact that, in obviously many cases they are, and when you talk about it and you read the book, you realize the beliefs that are holding me back now were beliefs I had as five, six, seven, as you said, a seven-year-old. So we have beliefs subconsciously that are holding us back. And the good news is we can change those. We can reprogram those.
Yeah, I share an example. I talk about this notion of survival strategy, that every child has some sort of traumatic event. It can be serious trauma, or it can be something that's not that serious, like bullying or teasing, but nevertheless traumatic for a child. And in that moment, what children will do, what we each of us has done, is we will put in place a survival strategy, a strategy to make us feel safe. And I argue that there are three main kinds. There's a belonging strategy, like I need to be liked, to be accepted, to be included. A distancing strategy, I need to be right, to be smart, above it all. Or a controlling strategy, I need to win, to succeed, to be perfect. And we all have elements of each of these, but usually one's dominant. And when you identify what your dominant survival strategy is, it explains a lot about your behavior. For me, I was an eight-year-old boy who came to the U.S. from London, England. And I can tell you, it's cool to have an English accent at age 18. It's not very cool as an eight-year-old boy. And I was teased mercilessly. And so my strategy in that moment was, I need to do everything I can to be likable. And that became this unconscious rule in my program. And it really served me well. I did become likable, and I had a lot of professional and personal success out of it. But I began to find, as I entered adulthood and started leading, that it was really limiting me. It was having a lot of trouble being very honest and direct with people because I didn't want to put at risk my likability. And you can imagine how that would hold you back in a professional setting. And it wasn't until I discovered, wait a second, I have this belief. It was totally constructed for good reason, but I'm not sure I need to have that anymore. And it doesn't mean I won't be likable. I just won't have the kind of obsessive compulsive relationship to it that limits my freedom of action. And when I realized that, wow, like the world changed for me. And everyone has that opportunity, and it's a really great place to start.
Master Your Code, The Art, Wisdom, and Science of Leading an Extraordinary Life is the book. The author is Darren J. Gold. His website is darrenjgold.com. Our guest on the program This Week in America. We're pausing for a couple messages. We'll be right back with Darren after these words. Welcome back. This Week in America. You'll find us online, thisweekinamerica.us. Our guest, Jaron Gold, author of the book, Master Your Code, The Art, Wisdom, and Science of Leading an Extraordinary Life. Books available wherever books are sold. You'll find information, of course, at Darren's website, darrenjgold.com. You can link on that by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I mentioned in the beginning, is language creating your reality? Is it, and talk about that, and is that something that's that we can reprogram as well?
Yeah, it is. And it really is when you consider the language in a broader sense. It's not the actual spoken word, although, of course, that's language, but it's our internal dialogue. So we're speaking to ourselves all the time. And if you just, you know, pause for a moment and quiet the mind, you'll see a lot of chatter going on. And so this gets back to this other belief we have, a belief about ourselves. We are talking to ourselves about what our capabilities are, what our potential is all the time. And so our language creates a reality, and it creates the reality about what's possible for us. And we're all running around with a set of unconscious beliefs about ourselves. I call this our identity. The good news is, again, it's changeable. The bad news is much of the beliefs that we hold about ourselves, the way we talk to ourselves, is safety-based and is really limiting your effectiveness. And one of the most powerful drivers of human behavior is the desire to be consistent with your identity. So if you have a subconscious identity that says, I'm not good enough, guess what? The reality will be that you will not be good enough.
Yes.
And you will take actions consistent with that belief. So if you want to take extraordinary actions and have extraordinary results in life, you have to have an extraordinary identity. And a lot of the work that I do with leaders of organizations is get them to be conscious and aware of some of this internal dialogue, this unconscious set of beliefs they have about themselves, and reconstruct that in ways that is much more empowering.
You talk in the book about letting go of grudges, learning how to forgive unconditionally. Talk about that, because when you went through being fired and you were rolling along in life professionally, and all of a sudden you've lost that job, it'd be pretty easy to become very bitter over that. Talk about letting go of the grudges and forgiving.
Yeah, it's so powerful. And I've learned that lesson over time to the point now where it's hard for me to hold a grudge with anyone or anything. And what I discovered was that by doing so, by holding a grudge and not forgiving, it's an incredible weight that doesn't serve me. And what I like to say about any kind of belief is that it's not whether it's true or not, because there's plenty of reason to hold grudges, but whether the belief serves you. And I found that regardless of the truth of the belief that underlied the grudge, it wasn't serving me at all. In particular, I held a grudge and level of resentment towards my mother. And even, you know, until she passed away. And the weight of that was so extraordinary that when I finally had the maturity and grace to forgive her completely and unconditionally, it was like this incredible weight was lifted and an incredible amount of energy produced in the absence of that weight. So one of the chapters is all about forgiveness and the power of it and how hard it is, understandably hard it is, for people to give up the right to blame and hold grudges.
At the end of the book, in the epilogue, you've got a very powerful story talking about that and the role of kindness. And without kindness, it's impossible to forgive. Talk about that. You're in one of your daily commutes into work, and you come across a lady, and this really was a transformational moment for you.
Yeah, it was. I really, as I was writing the book, I really wanted to include a chapter on kindness. And for some reason, I just couldn't get it to accomplish what I wanted it to. So as I finished the book, I was a little reluctant to finish because it was missing this, I think, important ingredient around kindness. And I had this incredibly good fortune. I was walking from BART, which is the public transportation in the Bay Area, up Montgomery Street, and I came across a homeless woman. And I noticed it should have sort of just something grabbed my attention, and I looked at her. She was with her dog, and she had a little pocket mirror, and she was using the pocket mirror to put on some makeup. And there was just something about that moment. I don't know what it was. I was listening to an audiobook. I pushed pause. I reached into my pocket. I turned back towards her. I handed her money. And without any conscious thought, the words, "You are already beautiful," came out of my mouth. And it was this incredibly touching moment where our eyes locked and I felt this incredible flow of love and kindness between us. I'd never met this woman before. And I left feeling totally different and transformed. And I said, you know what? Wow, what a gift. I'm going to use this as an opportunity to include a really important part of your code is the power of kindness. And being kind all the time is just has been so important to me. And I strive to do that.
A couple minutes left in the program. We often hear, well, it's in their DNA. And there's a study, a field of study out there now called what epigenetics. Talk about this, because it may be, but it doesn't have to control our lives like maybe we thought it did.
Yeah. I will be the first to say that genes play some role, right?
Yes.
How much, you know, who knows? And we can get into that debate. I'm not sure it's that constructive. But what I find is genetics oftentimes end up being an excuse. I get to blame my genes, right? And I think that belief is destructive because it robs us of the power to really control our destiny and our lives. And I think we have much more control and choice than we maybe give ourselves credit for. And there's a whole field of science and research that you just named, epigenetics, that is pointing to this very fact that we have genes, but it's our environment that triggers whether those genes get turned on or off. So you can think about genes as like a light switch. And it's only in response to our environment that a particular gene gets triggered. So it's the research now and the science now is pointing to what we've all kind of intuitively understood, which is our environment really matters more than anything else. And part of what turns on those genes is how we make reality in our own environment. So we have a lot of control over that.
Got about a minute left. I mentioned that you talk to leaders all across the country, top CEOs, dealing with the top leadership positions. Do you find the great leaders must master themselves before they really can efficiently lead other people?
Absolutely. It's the fundamental premise of my work is a notion of 100% responsibility. And we don't have to look that far. Right. The leaders that we've revered throughout history, MLK, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Jesus, were all leaders who began with this fundamental proposition that I have to own myself and master myself. And it's through my way of being that I influence and lead others, not by trying to change or motivate or influence others. And that is a radical reorientation that I think is needed in our world today. And certainly central to the work that I do with leaders.
The book is Master Your Code, The Art, Wisdom, and Science of Leading an Extraordinary Life. The author is Darren J. Gold. His website is darrenjgold.com. Book available wherever books are sold. Of course, information on his website you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Darren, a pleasure. We could talk for hours. You've done such an excellent job with this book. Thank you for being with us on the program today. It's been great having you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure, Rick.
It has been our pleasure. With us on the program, Darren Gold, Master Your Code, The Art, Wisdom, and Science of Leading an Extraordinary Life, the book. Information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.